Athena, and welcome back to Let's Talk Disability, the podcast focusing on a range of disabilities from autism, dyspraxia, ADHD. I talk about the lot.
Today we have a special guest. Now, this guest has been on the podcast beforehand, but I'm welcoming him back to talk about the disabilities revolving employment. So welcome, James.
Thank you, Athena. Thank you for inviting me back on. Like, it means a lot. I'm happy to be here.
Would you be able to just do another quick introduction on who you are and your disabilities?
Yeah, of course I can. So my name's James. I'm 31. My disabilities are, I've got autism and dyspraxia, which I was diagnosed with when I was 2 years old, so a long time ago now. I've got clinical depression and clinical anxiety, which I was diagnosed about 2-3 years ago, and currently undergoing an assessment for ADHD as well.
What sort of jobs have you got, or what's your employment status at the moment to start off with?
So I've had like quite a wide variety of jobs, yeah. To be honest. Like, I started proper working when I was left uni the first time around in 2014. And again, 10 years ago, wow. I just started out like with working like in my local co-op, because I didn't really know what to do. Or actually, I found it hard. I wanted to work in the TV industry, which is what my degrees are related to. So I started off working in shops. I worked in there for a few years, which was really helpful. It helped me develop my confidence and like my personal skills and sort of like interacting with people. It helped me, like someone who, like before then, I was like really shy. I'm not very confident at all. So working in the retail sector certainly helped me a lot. Then moved into a couple of temporary jobs, like working in a warehouse and a bakery. And I worked in my local council just before COVID, which is when I lost my job in the council. I loved working there. I worked in the program management team, sort of working alongside some of the project managers in that. I lost my job due to COVID. Then I went back to uni, did my master's degree in TV production. I was very fortunate because I managed to work in my dream job as a runner in the TV industry for 3-4 years. I left the TV industry just because of the nature of the work. It's very competitive. Worked in the ambulance service, taking 999 calls for a year last year, which I really enjoyed. I just had to leave just for my own mental health, because it's a difficult job with some of the calls we receive. Currently, to actually answer your question, I work in Bupa as a member services advisor, where I sort of like look into answer calls from members in regards to authorising treatment through their private medical insurance.
So were there any concerns going into the workplace for yourself, different concerns with each individual jobs, or was it just an overall broad?
Been a bit varied, really. Like, my initial concern when I left university and going into the workplace was, would I have a level of support like with my disabilities? And when I first started out, I was quite wrongly sort of against accepting any help. Sort of like, I was embarrassed to accept any help, going over completely the opposite now. In the retail industry, I'd say the retail jobs I had, not speaking as an industry as a whole, wasn't much support regarding disabilities. Quite a numbers-based business. Like, I think when I moved into full-time work, when I worked in the council in the project team, they were absolutely supportive. And my manager was brilliant. He used to have regular meetings just to discuss like any tasks I got open, see how I was, see if there's anything they could do to support me. Like, it was a really supportive team, which was really lovely. And that sort of has echoed in the TV industry and in the jobs I had there. They were all really accommodating with my disabilities, really nice teams. The ambulance service as well, the team I worked in, like, honestly, they when I started, like, they gave me, well, even before I started the interview, they gave me access to the interview questions, which was really helpful, because one thing I hate is interviews. It sort of makes me anxious. And nervous. Like, I know everyone probably feels that in interviews. They're not a nice situation at all, but it helped. Just little things like that, which cost anything, does it, giving interview questions before the interview, so to put you on like the same level standard as someone who hasn't got a disability, is really helpful. My managers and team members are really good as well with my disabilities in the ambulance service too. And Bupa as well, like, I've only been there since February. Like, they have been so accommodating. They've got a neurodiversity group within Bupa sort of working to make the company more inclusive and have little schemes. For example, sort of like I suggested, why don't we have sunflower lanyards? For those that don't know, the sunflower lanyard is sort of an internationally recognised symbol for someone with a hidden disability. So I suggested to them, why not put sunflower lanyards for employees to show that they have a hidden disability, that if they want to, they can get a lanyard behind the reception, just so that staff are aware of what it means. They might need accommodations, they might need sort of like a bit of patience and extra support. Lovely to hear that the Bupa as a company has been so receptive to feedback.
So you mentioned about workplace adjustments. What workplace adjustments have you been receiving that have helped you with?
With Bupa, that's doing my recent, like my current job. For example, I've asked for extra meetings, like with my manager, just to check if I'm okay to go through any concerns, like if possible. I know like my management team are busy, yeah. but like when I had the meeting with the disability passport, my manager said that shouldn't be a problem. The call centre environment is very, well, not very, but they do record like the number of calls you take per hour, like the different sort of ready states you're in. So I've just asked that, just because I've got autism and dyspraxia, especially more with the dyspraxia, like I'm sure you know, Athena, that it takes longer to process information and sort of like to do sort of like tasks which other people might do quickly, whereas it just takes like me more time to do that. So I've just asked like for my manager just to be sort of like aware of that when he receives the figures, like for my calls and things, which again, he's been very open and honest and sort of like being receptive with that, not to sort of compare myself to other colleagues in the workplace who might be quicker than me. I think what else? Software based as well. There's quite a few things that Bupa has licenses for specialist software, just to make it easier, because in my job there's a lot of different systems we use. So it can on the face of it look overwhelming. For example, I can ask for access to specialist software. I've applied. I didn't know that access to work existed before I started here in the numerous jobs. This is the first job where my manager's sort of been proactive and suggested I apply for access to work, which I'm currently in the system at the moment. I've submitted my application, so I'm waiting to hear back what's there. So I've sort of asked for like a support worker, which access to work can provide, sort of access to specialist software too.
So is it like similar to the DSA, but in a job setting?
That is exactly right. It's easy to apply online. There's an online form, which is quite easy to fill in. I believe it is a long waiting period, sort of similar to PIP and other government schemes. But I definitely recommend playing it, because I didn't know it existed. And so fingers crossed, I hear something out of it. I know I've had colleagues who's applied for it and they find it found the help they've received really helpful through the Access to Work scheme too.
So was there anything going into the workplace that you found difficult or surprised you?
I think initially, because my first role was retail, and sort of like if you sort of read into sort of books and had expert like reports and things, then people with autism technically shouldn't do a customer facing job, which yeah. I've always been against, and I've always been people who stubbornly sort of positive and thought, no, if I want to do something, like I'll try my hardest to do it. So first of all, I suppose, like, still now, to be honest, something I struggle is like being perceived as blunt or rude by my colleagues, even though they constantly reassure me that I'm not. Sisters of the word in the back of my mind, especially in retail, like the variety of different people that came into like the co-op shop I worked in and B&M after that, just people thinking that sort of like being paranoid that people think that you're not normal. They might think you're rude. But I always try to help people best I can, no matter what job I've been in, whether it's retail, whether I can in the council, and help my colleagues. And especially now and in the ambulance service, sort of helping the people on the other end of the phone to the best of my ability. I'd say probably worrying what other people thought of me initially was like one of my biggest like sort of concerns.
The next question is, do you have any advice for burnout management?
So I have experienced sort of like burnout, although I've tried sort of like, I say manage it. Yeah. It affects me more when I've left work. It doesn't like sort of affect me sort of like when I go home and like have a little nap here and there. If you work in like, for example, a target-driven job, try not to be too wary of the targets. Like, my sort of like opinion is that a call needs to take as long as it takes. If there's a reason, I know this is probably specific to telephone-based jobs, so I suppose any job, if you work in a customer-facing job, either on the phone or sort of in person, treat everybody how you like to be treated. Don't let targets burn you out. Don't be always conscious. Do what you can and ask for help when you need it. Don't try to sort of like, I've had that in the past with some jobs, like where sort of like be sort of years ago, like being stubborn and just keep plowing on, keep going one after the other, sort of like sacrificing breaks and things. If you need a break, take a break. Don't push yourself too hard, and accept help if you need it and ask for help if you need it.
And finally, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, that is a very good thing. Best advice I've ever been given, I'm going to have to think about this. Best advice I've given is don't be afraid to be yourself. Like, you are enough. Try not to compare yourself to other people. You are you, and you deserve like to be treated with kindness and respect like everybody else. If you do have disabilities, like, don't be afraid to seek and accept help as well. Like, I know the last few years, like, I've finally got to the terms where I'm like accepting help. Like, I applied for PIP and I've made a whole video about that. It might not have gone the way I wanted, but that's a whole different story. But access to work, I've applied for, like going to Disney World last year, like on my own. I made full use of like the airline, the airport's disability schemes, Disney's accessibility service as well. And I wouldn't be able to do that without accepting like that help. Disney, like, they need to teach everyone their scheme because it's just amazing. And I can't wait to go to Universal, which again, I'll use their disability service because I didn't choose to be autistic. I didn't choose to have dyspraxia. It's something I was born with. And whilst on one hand, I am conscious, like, there are other people who, like, with other disabilities that probably could use this service more. If it wasn't available to me, they would say, no, you can't use, like X, Y, and Z disability scheme. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
I definitely agree with the disability scheme, especially at the, theme parks. Having that little break where you don't have to stand in a queue and you can just...
Amazing.
You can just walk around. Amazing.
Makes you feel so much better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. So thank you, James, for joining me on this podcast.
No, thank you so much for having me back on. Like, I've really enjoyed myself. Thank you. I appreciate it.